Hello, my name is Andrew Fetter, and I want to welcome you to When Pigs Fly. First, I want to thank BBS Radio for having me, giving me this opportunity to host my show. This is my debuting show. And for those who are not aware of who I am author of the book When the Angels Have Risen. And you can check me out at my website, www.andrewfetter.com. It'll give you a detailed bio, some of the bio about myself as well as my book. And again, thank you. And I also want to thank all the listeners and future listeners who will be listening even in future archives. Well, the subject for today, which I decided to have on my first show, is regarding religion, or more specifically, organized religions. A lot has been said, whether, you know, the pros and cons of what between the organized religions, and I'm referring to the major three, and even though there's, you know, I'm talking about from Judaism, Christianity, Islam, and of course there's Buddhism and and Hinduism, but my question is, what has happened in humanity as on a whole? What is it? Has it really been that beneficial? Now, I apologize to any of those people out there who are deeply tied into their organized religions, who will feel that I am offending them or their name or their priest or minister or rabbi or imam, because that's not my intention. My real intention is to open people's eyes to the real substance of Scripture, of what the real intent of the prophets and teachers and Scriptures had intended, and intensity within the intention of the Scriptures themselves. So first I'd like to give you a basis where I'm coming from, how I'm trying to describe what is where I'm coming from, so you understand where my ideals are within the organized religions and where the very fundamental is. Now, I do believe in God, and I believe of an infinite God. And if everyone picks up and checks out, in Hebrew it's called Bereshit, or in English it's called Genesis, which is the first beginning of, it's called one in the book, and you'll read. And it says, when God began to create the heaven and the earth being unformed and void, with darkness over the surface of the deep, and a wind from God sweeping over the water, God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. So what was intention in here? I apologize if I use the word he, because we don't, God in terms is not a generic form of whether he's a he or a she, but I believe it's an infinite system, a cause within our universe and within all of us. But the intention here is to understand there's a dark side and a light side that was created. And the light side was going toward good, and the dark side was going the opposite direction. And this is very important to understand, because then what did God do for mankind? What separates us from even the angels, separates us from our souls, separates us from the animals on this planet? What separates us is we have choice. We have choice to turn to one side toward the dark, and turn the other, or turn the other side to the others, and go to the light side. Now, what is, when I'm talking going toward the path of the light and dark, what am I referring to? What does that mean? Most people think, oh, well, you know, it's evil is the dark side and light side is going, you know, good. And, you know, that sounds a little Star Trek-y, or, you know, for Star Wars or something. But it's basically in the sense that dark enhances hate. If you're doing something hateful or speaking of hate, you're projecting the energy of darkness. You're moving toward the dark. If you're projecting ignorance, intolerance, and greed behest of others, you are walking toward the dark side. Now, what are the tools that people who are decided to go toward that path, what kind of tools do they use to enhance their own objectives by walking into the dark and continuing that path? They will use guilt. They will use fear. They will use ignorance. The most common, though, is between guilt and fear. And then ignorance is by subjugating people to think that they're ignorant, that they don't have minds. And that by doing knocking down their self-worth, which just perpetuates their ignorance. Now, what is light? Blocking the light is very simple. It is love, wisdom, compassion, charity. Those are the basic concepts. But overall, if you embrace the whole enhancement of walking toward the light, toward what God said was good, it's simply love. And this is found throughout, whether it's Tao Te Ching or Taoism or Buddhism or Christianity, the real fundamentals within Christianity, the real fundamentals with Islam, the real fundamentals in Judaism, good is love. Love toward God, love to your fellow man, love to your physical, to earth, just simply love. And that is basically the tool that is the tool of the light. As opposed to, like I just said, the tool of the dark side is guilt and fear, and then perpetuate ignorance. Now, I'm going to say another thing that, again, it might piss off a lot of people. It might get the imams out there and say, hey, I'm going to call a fatwa on this guy, Andrew Fetter, because he's saying negative stuff about Prophet Muhammad or the Quran or Islam. The Christians might say, oh my God, he's the Antichrist. Don't believe him. He's slandering the words. The Jews might say, he's a heretic. Oh my God, he's just another Spinoza. He's just going to twist and turn and, well, we just can't listen. We'll just ostracize him. He's just a crazy Jew. But I'm telling you the very fundamentals. And I'm not the first one who's probably said this. In fact, there's a famous one who, I don't know, I'll get to later, but then he was crucified for that. Now, first I'm going to lie on the bat, pull out my bat, and the first one I'm going to delegate with and deal with is Islam. And what is Islam? Islam, the word, actually means not just peace, but God's peace. Isn't that ironic? God's peace. And the very fundamentals of sort of the essential of what Islam is, in the very beginnings and some of the parcels within Quran, is talking about tolerance and loving your brother and your brotherhood. In fact, there's a famous quote that's basically the essence, is the very essence of Islam, which says that if you've killed one man, it is as if you killed the whole world. And as if you have saved one man, you have saved the whole world. Well, what's that? It's basically describing that how important that we are all connected. And since Allah, God, Elohim, is all the same, and we are all part of the godliness, from the land that we sit on, to the trees, to the people, to the animals, to the stars, the universe, and even the extraterrestrials that we're not even some of us aware of and some of us choose not to be aware of. These are all of God, all of Allah, all of Elohim. So to say, when somebody speaks of hate, and I want to kill you, or I'm going to kill them, or I'm going to crucify them, or I'm going to bomb them, or I'm going to take my child and strap a bomb and kill that person, or I'm going to pull out the Mujahideen and pull a jihad on them. This is hateful. This is not in the name of Allah. This is counter Allah. This is not in the name of God. This is on the dark side. As I said, light is good, light is love. Hate is dark. And I'll read one part, which is broken off from an actual part from the Quran itself. And this is where I get into a lot of part of the scriptures have been, not just many, because there's a dark side and a light side throughout the scriptures. But this is the dark side. And this is where a lot of imams take on the wrong side of God. In fact, using blasphemizing God's name or Allah's name. And I say this because I want someone, every time they say praise be Allah, they should not be afterward screaming out to go kill a Jew or a Christian or a non-Muslim or a Buddhist or a Hindu. This is not of Allah. It says in the Quran not to make friends to Jews and Christians, to fight them until they pay the jizya, which is a penalty tax for the non-Muslims living under Islamic rules, with willing submission and feel them subdued. Kill the non-believers wherever you find them. Murder them and treat them harshly. This is not love. This is hateful. This is intolerance. How can you subdue or hurt the very essence of part of you? It's like right now within the Middle East itself. You know, if, for example, the Palestinians or the other Arabs are so hateful toward Israel, just the thought of, we don't accept you, you're not existing, that is spiteful. That's not in the name of Allah. To reach out to your younger brother and say, okay, you know what, here's a little teeny sliver of land, we'll let you live there, but just give us peace. We'll live in peace. Reach out, put down. And then, on that same token, the Jews and the Israel reach out and have with sincerity on from both sides and having peace. This is love. This is toward God. This is toward light. Not, I'm going to go and kill you, or like Nasara of the Hezbollah, in counter to what I was on our show previous co-hosting for a friend of mine on a previous show of the People's Question. And I had said, too, about Hezbollah being on the very dark side, and in a blog of his, he said, they're not as dark as I make it. But when a person says that we should take a group of people and stick them in a country so we can liquidate them, how different is he from Hitler? He is walking the same darkness. When Katyusha rockets are flying, not toward soldiers, but toward the target is toward people, innocent people trying to kill people, that is dark. And I'm saying war. War is definitely dark. Either way it's used. It's like the last thing. It is the very essence of darkness within our society. And look how the wars that are going around over religion and over even Islam, which is supposed to be of peace. If I point over my lighted wand, I go to the Philippines, and there are Muslims wanting to kill Catholic Filipinos. Or I go into another area like in Afghanistan where they blew apart the two Buddhas. And nobody, you didn't hear the Buddhists run around screaming, oh my God, you just destroyed two of our sacred statues. But if somebody draws a cartoon of Muhammad, and whatever, how maybe disrespectful how you interpret it, what do you do? Create violence? I mean, if you march out and say, hey, I don't like it, da-da-da-da, it's one thing. But to tear down property, to kill people, to threaten to kill people. Same thing with the Pope. The Pope made a comment, what he felt was historically with Islam. That's his view. Not that any of the Christians or Catholics are any better. Far from it. Looks like the organized imams are just trying to catch up with the Catholic Church tried to do for 2,000 years. But to become radically, the imams coming out to become creating a atmosphere of hate and violence, that is not God. That's a blasphemy to the name of God. Because like I said, walking toward the light is love. That is good. Speaking of hate and killing and murder is blasphemy in the name of God. That is walking toward the darkness. So when those imams, and I wish the moderate ones, and there are plenty out there, and there are plenty of imams who truly, and Muslims, and who are very wanting to want to be devout, they're trying to search for within their heart the love of God. And if they find that truthfulness within Islam, which is peace, you're having peace with God. That means you're being together with God. By the way, it's exactly the same thing Jews, which I'll get to later, try to emulate. It's the exact same thing Jesus had said, in, with he tried to portray within his own sermons. And I'll get to that as well. But the bottom line, what I'm trying to explain, is Allah is all. We're all part of Allah. So no, cut the hate. Try to push out a little bit of love. Try to put a little tolerance. Not a little, put a lot. Now, the next thing I was going to go on, next one that is coming up, I'm going to speak about Christianity. Now, like I said, in the name of Jesus, things have been used against what he was trying to project. He was a rebel. He died on the cross, not for your sins, which is a tool used to project guilt on you. He did not die for humanity. He died because he was trying to stand up and say what was right. He was standing up saying enough of the hierarchy within religions, enough of the power grabbing between institutional with governments, with the Romans, with the priests controlling and dictating religion to the people. Because religion is not in a building. It's not even in the books. It's not even, you can see, it's not the real core of religion is in the heart. And that's what all he was saying. It's in your heart. And it was very simple. And he was taking that power away from the priests, the rabbis, the ministers, and the future imams that would come to be and say, no, religion is not in the institutions. It is within the individual. So it says, even in the very beginning, God of Isaac, God of Abraham, God, you know, God of. That's because everybody has their own godliness within themselves, their own connection. Yet we're all connected. You know, I remember Thomas Jefferson in 1785 made a famous quote. And by the way, for those who are misconstrued thinking the United States government is based upon Christianity, on the contrary, it's based on Mason philosophy of the Masons. And that's confirmed by George Washington's statement that where he said that in no way, shape, or form is the Constitution based upon Christianity. But here's one of the forefathers of freedom. And what his view of Christianity. In 1785, he had said, millions of innocent men, women, children, since the introduction of Christianity, have been burnt, tortured, fined, imprisoned, yet have not advanced one inch of uniformity. What has been the effect of corrosion? To make one half the world fools and the other half hypocrites. To support air roguery all over the world. And yet today, you can see the same thing. We have the Pat Robertsons, the Jerry Farwells, the Dobsons, and they're the hypocrites, and they're making fools of Jesus and what he stood for. They project intolerance toward gays. They start pushing the intolerance to the woman having a choice. They start subjugating what they interpret is what is real Christianity, what their views are on what Christianity is. And who are they? Like me and you. Just people. Because the bottom line, like I said, the core of the essence of God is not in the New Testament. It's not really even in the Old Testament. It's not in the Quran or the Bhagavad Gita or the Tao Te Ching. It is in your heart, which I'll tell you a little story about that. The God, one time there was a story about when God would want to know the hide the secret for the connection between God and the human soul. The angel said, well, what, where you put the key so that man cannot find it so easy and make it a little bit harder, because you just can't just hand it to him. And so one angel said, well, put it on the highest mountain. And God said, no, man will eventually find it there. So then they asked, well, maybe we'll put it in the deepest sea. And God said, nope, they'll eventually put it, man will eventually find it in the bottom of the sea. And he goes, you know what? I'll put it in the place where he'll never think to find it. I'll put it in his heart. And that's basically it. So everywhere you'll see the connection between the heart, connection between God and yourself is always through your heart, which I'll get through when I talk about my aspect of within Judaism, which is a very core aspect which relates to both Christianity and Islam and other religions as well, including Tao Te Ching and even Native Americanism. But, like I said, What did Jesus amplify? He wanted to show love in the heart. He was against the priest, the minister. He showed that God was not found in a church. It's found in your heart. You know, when he showed that he was a man, because when he was on the cross, he said, "Oh Lord God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He's just a person, like Moses, who kicked the stone, like Muhammad getting out of his anger. If somebody didn't agree to him, he actually killed them. Yes, he killed and murdered and raped. Because that's what they were. They were men. They also had a very dark, some dark sides to their personality, to their function. Probably the most righteous individual within the Bible, and you can check it out, everyone can check it themselves, is Daniel. I mean, that's why he was able to sit in the den with the lions, because he was so righteous and so loving that not even the lions could eat him. What man could do actually do that today? Oh, he'd probably be like the Buddha, the Dalai Lama. So, what was Jesus really trying to show? He was trying to get to the core, and that's why he was crucified. You know? That's why there was the Orthodox Christians, as opposed to the real Christians of his day, who were simply religious Jews, a sect, who wanted to break out from the hierarchy and show that what really religion is within the heart. So he was crucified for that. In the Book of Thomas, that's why it was kept out of the books from the rest of the Gospels, because they didn't want to show you that, because he talks about him being a man, that he kissed his woman. And he had a kid, which now the Catholic Church, oh my God, if you hear about that, because then he'd be a man. Instead of making him into Apollo or Zeus and creating a trinity, so that you can actually physically look at, see something that you can recognize. And now, no disrespect, but that's basically it. God is infinite. So to make him to finite is the opposite direction of what he was trying to portray, that God is an essence, a love within all things, not a statue, not an image. That's not where God is. God is in the heart. And that's basically what he was trying to portray. So when people come out and they talk about Christianity, what are they talking about? Are they really Christians? You know, I wish, instead of using all their might and energy and saying the pastors or ministers or priests and worrying about Jesus being a son of God or a savior and or the Messiah, or that he was resurrected, or that he was, you know, he was a healer, he was a psychic, he was a professor, or a prophet, and a great prophet as it is. And those, the Jews, sometimes, and I hate to say, disavow and don't take to what he had said, because he was a loving, good Jew, which I wish the Christians realized he was a Jew, and so was his apostles, the followers, were Jews, yet they nicely want to blind themselves of it. But he was a person who was trying to show around the world that it didn't need organized religion. If he was here today, he would be a person who was probably more libertarian, more liberal, or probably devoutly religious, in that sense that he would be, you know, praying 24 hours a day. Yet, he'd be thought of as being a socialist, a communist, because he wanted to spread out the substances of life for all people. And that those who are rich to take responsibility and take the power away from the hierarchy and give it back to the people. So they have their voice. At the same token, having tolerance for the minority, the ones who are disadvantaged. Because, you know, it's sort of like why there are people who are unfortunate. It's for the people who are fortunate to preside, to act upon their charity. And that's why the other thing I talked about, charity, is being a type of part of working in the light to help somebody who is in need, or somebody who's hurt, or somebody not as in the same situation as yourself. So that is the most important thing within Christianity. Walk with the lips of Jesus. Do what he has said, not what he is. because you're trying to turn him to what he wasn't. Instead, follow what he was saying. And the very crucial of everything, you know. Don't run around in your bikes and try to make everybody to believe that he's our savior. That's not Christian. That's not what Jesus was all about. He wasn't going to come out and spread the word. You got to believe, boom, now you're Christian. Thank you. You're one of our team. That was not Christianity. That's not what he was trying to do. He was just trying to find true love within your heart. He was the West Buddha. He was the man of the West Buddha, basically, if you want to call it that. He was just trying to show love within all of us and connecting the love of God within all of us. Not to say that he's some part of God. That's why he's on the cross. He said, "Oh Lord, why hast thou forsaken me?" Because he's just a man. He did not want people bowing to him, just as Moses' grave was hidden so people wouldn't be bowing to Moses and thinking he was a god. Just like Muhammad's grave was, who knows where that is, for the same token, not to turn Muhammad into a god. That wasn't the point, their point. So now I get to the root of where the function of the word Judaism, which came into the being of within Christianity and as well as Islam. And by the way, you know, a lot of the aspects, which are the root, which is sort of ironic, that being, if you're a Muslim, you should be embracing those who are Jewish, because they basically believe in, within the same thing. I remember living in Israel and going to a mosque, even with my best friend, who happens to be an Arab, an Israeli Arab or Palestinian, wherever you want to call him, but he was Israeli. And I used to go to Tokaram and to the West Bank and even to their mosque. Even my ex-wife didn't know about it, but I did. And I was just curious. I was devoutly religious, by the way. And the reason why I did is because I saw the same things they believed in functionally as Jews. They believe in an infinite God. Their mechanics were almost very similar to us as to the, what the Jews had did or do. And so I saw, I asked them, I says, "Well, how come you let me come in the mosque?" He says, "Oh, because you're not an infidel. You're not a Christian. Don't believe in Trinity. You believe in infinite God." And that's what even their iman would say to me. I go, "Oh." So that's what I was trying to get to within Christianity, that it is not whether Jesus is a Apollo or a Zeus or a son of God, but showing what his lips were trying to say, if they follow what he was saying and portray. Anyway, now to Judaism. The crux of Judaism and the root of, and I, you know, go back to it, is love. And then, in fact, there's a very important prayer that you're supposed to say before you pass away. It's a prayer that's said several times during the day. And it says, and I'll say it in Hebrew, and it goes on and on. But what it's saying is, "I will love with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my might, God Almighty." What's that mean? It's love. That's the most important thing. And if you ask what the most important mitzvah or good deed in Judaism, is to do for somebody without their knowledge. Charity. And why do something for somebody without their knowledge? Because you don't expect anything. It's just out of your heart, out of love. Charity is coming from your heart out of love. You're doing something. And this is where the problem within, I find in Judaism. And I'm talking about the organized religion of Judaism, where especially the religious, where they don't tell you this is what the law is interpreted to be. We'll tell you, you don't really know. And then when you find out, they're full of it. Because I'll give you a couple examples. I asked one rabbi, and this is one of his studying, goes, "Why do you have to wear a kippah, a yarmulke?" And that's a little beanie hat that you see, you know, Jews wear when they pray. And he says, "Oh, you have to wear that." I says, "But isn't that tradition? I mean, Moses didn't wear a kippah or yarmulke or the little beanie. Abraham didn't. King David didn't. Solomon didn't. None of the prophets wore that. When did that happen? Oh, when we came out, after the days of when Jews were in Persia? And where did that come out? Oh, well, here it says, and they show me where it says in Talmud, which is, by the way, their oral law, the interpretations of the law. It says, you may cover your head to remember that there is always somebody above you, more specifically God. And I'm paraphrasing that too much, but it does say, perhaps you may, in Hebrew, in Aramaic. You may cover your head. That's just to make sure that, you know, because back then they don't want, if you're a king or you're very wealthy, you're not all power, that there's somebody above you. You need to humble yourself to an extent, not think that, you know, your riches are you. You know, you really are just your, what you are is just your experiences anyway. You don't take your Mercedes and big villas into your grave. All you take with you is your experiences into your next lifetime. So that is what I was trying to gather, that within Judaism is essentially love and charity. And there is, and we all have our aspect of view of God, and yet they'll portray what determination of what the law is, you know. Like they make that a law, and it isn't even a law. You have to wear a yarmulke. You have to wear that beanie on your head, okay? But that's a lie. I remember asking a rabbi one time, and this is before Passover. I don't know if people are familiar with Passover, and the most of those Jewish of heritage would know that you're not allowed to eat leavened bread, which is, you know, why you eat matzah. So they go further. Oh, you can't drink beer because it has barley in it. Now, culturally, there was a split because when Jews were in diaspora or out of Israel for 2,000 years, they ate certain different foods based upon where they happened to be living. So they interpret things even more further. And so Jews who were living in the Arab countries would eat rice on Passover, because they didn't say that's not considered unleavened. And Jews living in Europe would not be allowed to eat that. They would consider that being leavened because it puffs up. So I asked the rabbi, I never forget, and then he was a Lubavitch or Hasid, or those guys with the little curly things hanging on their heads, for those who don't know, and the black hats and the black stuff, you know, zoot suits. And he said to me, I asked him, well, listen, at the time I was married, my ex-wife was from Persia, you know, originally from Iran. What about my kids? What do they eat? You know, on Passover. Are they allowed to eat the rice or not the rice? This is, shows you how the economy, how the joke within their making, their games within their own rules. Oh, well, you have to eat by the father. Well, because he looks at me because I'm like of European descent, let's say, because my grandparents, great-grandparents are from, you know, Russia, Latvia, and Poland. Oh, so you got to eat that way, and he happens to be of European descent. I said, that's BS. You know? I thought, because you're Jewish by your mom, which is, I'll get that in another story, another part, how essential women are into society. But the mom is, you know, you're supposed to be from your mom, so wouldn't it come down your mom's side? And he would scratch his head and he wouldn't know what to answer. You know? And they'd make up stuff, including, you know, eating chicken with cheese. I asked them, you know, it says in the Bible, thou shalt not boil thy kid with the mother's milk. Well, I can understand that. How gross would that be to kill, suckle the milk, and then the little kid coming out and make a veal cutlet with it and throw the same, swash down some milk that was intended for the little calf and eat the little calf too. That's pretty sickening. That's almost like barbaric. So they were trying to be more, less cruel, as I say. So yeah, I understand separating the milk from the meat, the cow. But how's that a chicken? Chicken is a reptile. I haven't seen any little titties on a chicken before, giving milk to a little baby chick. And it surely isn't born. It's a reptile, for Christ's sake. Oh, my God. But we've determined who's we. Oh, it says in the, it's called the Shulchan Aruch, they had a little committee, and they decided who put them in power. Was there a vote? I mean, I didn't know God, you know, dealing with godly issues was like a committee act. I didn't know that, you know, they had to form Abraham and Isaac and Moses, they had to form a little committee first. I didn't think he had to bring, you know, Aaron and everybody up to the mountain with him. He was there by himself. So these are the things like within Judaism itself, with the organized part of Judaism. Because the very function of within Judaism and the practice of a lot of the Kabbalistical and in the prayers and the things, it's very, very simple to love. In fact, there's one part that says, with that prayer I mentioned before, it says, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Echad. It basically, Hear, O Israel, Lord our God, the Lord is one. I mean, all God is one within, and it says Echad means, actually there's a dual meaning to one. It means together. That we're all but one. We're all part of God. It's a declaration. And there's the same aspect within that same prayer that says that you shall bind these things upon your heart and upon your mind. That's where you hear that you see a little box thing they put on their head and they wrap this thing around their arm that's called tefillin on their left arm, pointing to your heart. So it's your soul, not your mind, your soul and your heart to be one with God. Again, love. Love is in your heart, is the key, the connection to God, the godliness, and your soul. And to remember those things. And they put it on your post, put that little thing on your door. It's called the mezuzah. And that's to remind you. And that's like a gateway, a door, an opening. So everywhere you're going, that opening is a new door. And by the way, wisdom is also another essence of walking toward a light. Knowledge. Continuing to learn knowledge, to grow, to find. Not to think the world is flat, not to think that, oh my God, we're actually connected to, physically, our bodies are connected to primates, to chimps. That's just physical. That's spiritual. We're spiritually, we're still connected with all things, even with that animal, the chimp. The monkey, the dog, the pig, the cow, the rat. We're all connected. We're all made up of DNA physically, and spiritually we're all connected. That's why the lion couldn't even eat Daniel, because he had so much light and love. How dare could he eat somebody with that righteousness within himself? But those are the cores. So when you go, the true root of all religions is basically within the heart. It's not the mechanics of the prayer, which I'll go into another time and talk about what the mechanics of prayer are. It's not going to the temple. It's not throwing that money and buying that special ticket on the high holidays either. It's not just screaming, praise be Allah, or you believe in Jesus Christ or you're going to hell, that he's our Lord and Savior. That is not godliness. Godliness is in the heart. Walking the light is love, and the path of love, and charity, and wisdom. So like I'm trying to explain to you in one very simple word, it's not whether you're Jewish, Muslim, Christian, Hindu, Buddhist, or other. It's not black or white or Mexican or American. Not Irish or British or German or French. Not Chinese or Japanese, Indian or Pakistani. The bottom line is, we're just all human. We are all human. We all have souls. We're all like all little leaves on a big old tree. We're all connected. Whether you like it or not, we are connected. And you can't hate the other part of the plant. Because guess what? If you hate that other plant, you're just basically hating yourself. Because you're hating God, because that's the whole tree is God. We're all part of the tree of life. We're all connected. And the root of that tree is right now and physically in this earth. We're all connected to this earth. It gives us the food that physically we eat and the air that we breathe. So we shouldn't desecrate that as well. Where everything's all connected. Everything. Which we'll bring up a later subject, which I'll bring up another time. Which about Al Gore's great movie about the Inconvenient Truth, because it basically is. about the global warming and taking responsibility of that. So this is the very essence of what I think the dynamics, and I'm trying to portray, and trying not to send to people and tell them that this is the right way, the wrong way. This may be my way and how I'm viewing it, but just as you have a way of looking at things. But have tolerance and love in your heart. I don't care if you want to believe Jesus is your Lord and Savior, or that Muhammad is the prophet, or in Jews that, you know, Moses gave us the Torah, or the Hindus having the several gods in their Bhagavad Gita or whatever, or the Buddha with their laws within Buddhism and their the philosophies within Buddhism, or the Taoists who believe in Tao Te Ching, or that any others, the pagans who have theirs, it doesn't matter. We're all the same. But we're all connected. Whether we're all connected, like I said, we're all connected branches. And that's the real essence of all religions, the true essence of all things, is just the love in your heart. And I say, if you can tear down all the synagogues and all the mosques and all the cathedrals and all the churches and all of them and break down all these institutions, and people said, you know what? We're all individuals on this. We're not Jew, Christian, Buddhist, Baptist, Hindu. We're human. We're human. And that's probably why people are so alienated and feel weirded out if, oh my God, there might actually be extraterrestrials. Because what would the extraterrestrials look at us on this planet? He wouldn't say, you're an Arab and you're an Israeli. He wouldn't say, you're a Pakistani and you're an Indian. You're a Mexican, you're American. You're black or you're white. Because what are we? Is this the prison planet? We all got our gangs, our Bloods and Crips. You choose my side, you're either a Blood or a Crypt. And then we have our little gangs that run around killing each other, all the names, saying that we believe in our God is better than your God, and this is my turf, not your turf. How pathetic. That is really pathetic. That is not the way of God. That's not religious. Imams and priests and pastors and all the religious clerics should be going to the ones who are listening to them, their disciples or those who are listening to as they're giving their sermons, to emphasize love and not go out there reaching out to your enemy and say, or your projected enemy, because nobody's really an enemy, going out and saying, hey, you know what? We want to make peace. Put down the AK. Put down the bombs. Drop down the walls. This is ridiculous. Drop down the borders. And have I'm projecting maybe an open society, but that's really what it is. If we come to reality, instead of playing this game of risk on a table, where only ones who get killed are innocent people, while other people are playing pawns. This ain't a chessboard. It isn't a game. Because when it's all done, you're dead and you're stuck in a grave. And then the next turn and the next turn. You know, they used to say that if you do the same thing and the same results over and over, it's insanity. But it is insane to have a war over religion, over who God. It's been going on since even Greeks. The Greeks used to kill people over who had the control of a temple. The Jews and the, you know, did the same thing. And the Romans did the same thing. And you know, I can point to every religion going back to the day of time. But how much have we evolved from that as a society? We are just human. And I believe that the hierarchies within organized religion has perpetuated this lies and insanity that has been going on for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. The same old game. Why? Because they're walking in the dark path. Why? Because they're looking at greed and power. Why? Because they want to project hate, and using that hate upon masses and projecting fear and guilt is a way of control. So therefore, they can do the old magic trick. Hate the Jew, hate the Christian, hate the Muslim, just hate. Hate the non-whatever, the person who's different than you, who may be culturally or physically looking different. Hate. Meanwhile, they do the magic trick and steal and take. So, in basic sum, of everything that I've tried to play, the most important thing, and then I'll just close with this, and I'll get into some politics for the remaining part of my hour here, of When Pigs Fly. By the way, when I refer to When Pigs Fly as my program, it's because there is no BS here, as they say. I'm just telling straight up what it is. But I just say, to the soul of mankind, to all that live in the air, in the water, or on the earth, to the physical earth, to the infinite stars and heavenly bodies, to the love that has no boundaries, all is connected to the one, the infinite one. And I wrote that in a book that will be coming out down the line. It's my second book called The Heretic. By the way, it's my, not to pull it in there, but it is the sequel to When the Angels Have Risen. But I think that's the essence, that we're all connected. We're all part of all things. And it's enough, you know. It's ridiculous. And you see, like, for example, in today's politics where, you know, Bush says he's all Christian and all devout and all doing for the good. And what has he done for good? You know, he's lied to get people, have 3,000, over 3,000 innocent soldiers killed. How many wounded? And how many Iraqis and others have been killed or murdered or what for what? Based upon lies. This is walking in the darkness. This is not walking to being a man of Jesus, believing the words of Jesus, of tolerance. When he's taken out from what is supposed to be going toward helping the poor, charity, should be benefiting those who are disadvantaged. And instead of doing what Jesus would have done, instead of this tax break that he gave, would have been distribute a little bit more taxes. I'm sure if you're making $1 million or more, what is a couple hundred thousand dollar more spread out from your taxes? It's not going to, so you can go splurge and like go into a room up in the Palms in Las Vegas and throw $50,000 so you can have a basketball court. Take that $50,000 and that's two years for one family almost, you know? Come on, one night. Can you imagine that? So that's an absurdity. That would be the Christian thing to do, what Jesus would say, to give charity, to tolerance. And to the imams, the same thing. Reaching across and instead of throwing the AK up in the booth and telling the kids to strap and, you know, your kids, go, you'll strap some bombs or go kill some other little kids. And within the Palestinian situation with the Israelis, instead of putting down their arms and quit all the terrorism BS, because that's not getting for every action, there's a reaction. The Israelis are going to defend themselves and put the walls up and make it harder. Not all things that I agree with they end up doing, but they, hell, you have to do, protect yourself. And then what it does is it affects everybody else. I'm sure that most of the people in the area just really want peace. If you close the door, even with the Arabs, I remember going in the doors and they'd say one thing, you close the door, they'd tell you, hey, man, I just want to live and have to live nice. I remember living during the 80s in Tulkarm and Jenin and Hebron and Beit Lechem, which is Bethlehem, that there's in the West Bank were living really good and there were no walls and there was no hardly any terrorism acts. And they, you know, they were, if you went inside, they really wanted to have peace. But what did Arafat do, who took billions of dollars, didn't even bring even his wife over? They just took the money and ran. They played the magic act, just like Hamas is doing, just like Abbas is doing, just like Fatah is doing. Instead of telling the people, hey, put down arms, have a peace march. Do it the MLK way if you're upset the way the Israelis are treating you. Just like Michael Moore said in his book, he was right. Do it the peaceful way if you're not happy with the situation. Do it the Gandhi way. And you know what? I bet you the Israelis will put their hands out seeing the sincerity. And they'll, I mean, there's extremists, and I think the overall people will overpass the extremism and put their hands out and welcome each other as brothers, as their brothers. And this is just in the Middle East. This is just there. And then the Shiites and the Sunnis killing each other over who? Hussein? or Muhammad? Who gave us the real law? Who's the real prophet? Who's the what? What are they killing each other? Shiite and Sunni? How ridiculous. And then Balfour, everybody forgets about that. Oh, that's right, because they're black. It's not in Europe, it's not in Kosovo, it's not in Yugoslavia. Where thousands of people are being slaughtered just because they have not been Muslim. That's absurd. Today we have even functional genocide going around the world, and yet people take a blind eye. They do their daily things because they're not involved with it, but it is happening, and it's all part of us. And thoughts are things, and when we say things, they carry out our emotions. Because like I said, we're all connected. There is only love, and love has no boundaries. So, with that, with the product of all things within organized religions, you can see the function of what they are and what they have become, the harpy of the lie and saying the truth. And the clerics themselves, they need to speak up. And I know they're going to be, you know, like I said before, the imams will probably say, you call their fatwa on me. And the Catholic Church might get one of those guys who with the obeas, with a look out my door and see an albino ready to kill me. Or the Jewish dude, you know, who's new to the same or whatever. Because I'm just telling how it is. I'm not Jesus or anybody else. I'm just a person like everybody, just like Jesus said his thing. And there's a lot of great people out there who are walking in the light, who are projecting light. We're saying the similar things what I am, but in different ways. You know, like Deepak, I can't remember his name, who writes some great statements. And there's a lot of others. Even the Michael Moores out there, you know. And there's others who are doing it in different ways of trying to emphasize peace. And they do it, trying to do it the right way. And those my liberal friends who call us a progressive and saying I hate on, you know, when it comes to the Palestinian-Israeli thing, and it's my side or this side, instead of really going out and saying, hey, you know what, telling the Palestinians, put down the arms, put down this and this, and then let's have peace. No more terrorism. And no more terrorism, then no more walls to the Israelis. And have a mutually compromisable situation where they all benefit, because they will all benefit. But you can't teach lie and hate and utilizing fear. And if those who say they want to be loving to their neighbors and friends, they don't ostracize them, don't hang them up and kill them, or profess to do that, or put a fatwa on them, or saying they're being blasphemous, because you are the one who is being blasphemous in the name of Allah. You have distorted Allah's name. Allah is love and kindness. And to the Christian, the same. And same to the Jew. God is love. Not is not arrogant. Not is not being, it's my way or the highway. It's not that we are the chosen people. We are just happen to be a people that chose. That's what it says. We chose. Everybody has choice. And with sincerity, reaching out to your fellow man, because they are your fellow man. Like I said, we're just humans. We're all basically the same. And it all comes into within our politics of today. Within what the intolerance within Christians, I'm talking about the right-wing Christians, projecting toward people who are gay or lesbian or have different faith or different things, the way they look at things. I don't care if they're atheists. That's their view. You have tolerance toward that. Have discussion about it. Fine. But don't project hate. Don't that you go to hell. Oh, but the Bible says you're going to hell if you're do-da-da-da-da-da. Oh, come on, give me a break. We're all connected, so we all go to hell. In fact, we all do, and then we come out. And this ain't the prison planet. Or is it? If that's what we were going to make it to be, we've been making it a prison planet. Maybe that's why, maybe there's enlightened beings out there in the extraterrestrials who are going, well, my God, we really want to connect with these people here on Earth, but my God, they're still like barbaric. They're still killing each other over whose statue looks better, who they think is God is better. Or this one's got black skin, this one's got white skin, this one's got blue eyes, this one's got brown eyes. We're doing all the same crap over and over and over again. You know, if we can just do what, like even MLK, Martin Luther King said, we have a dream. He has a dream. John Lennon. So basically, the bottom line, as I had said, we are all humans. And I'll close again to the soul of mankind, to all that live in the air, in the water, or on earth, to the physical earth, to the infinite stars and heavenly bodies, to love that has no boundaries, all is connected to the one, the infinite one, God. And again, please, if you want, check my website out, www.andrewfeder.com, F-E-D-E-R, and you can check out my book, When the Angels Have Risen. Deals with subject matter of some of what I've discussed today, but it goes into more politics, and I'm sure you'll enjoy it. And again, thank you, and God bless you.